Yes, oh yes, it's a new day. Yes, it is. Chase and Big Joe, new time, new energy, same goofiness. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. He is Big Joe Dubin. I am Chase McCabe. What is going on?
I don't know what to do with my hands. I had all this free time this morning. I don't know what to do with my hands.
I know.
So
I know.
We're here. We're rolling.
Did you talk to Jill?
Talk to who?
Jill.
What?
Does she have a friend named Jill?
Huh?
Know the joke, Joe?
I don't know. That one kind of went over my head, too.
Yeah. My hands? From Ricky? Never mind.
It's gone now. It's over. But that's okay. You tried.
Stick to producing, as they say. Yeah.
Folks, I promise that it won't be like that every day. Actually, it probably will.
But it probably will.
Oh, just remember this. Whether you like it or you don't like it, learn to love it because it's the best thing going today.
Who is that from?
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair. Okay.
My nature boy.
All right. Well, so we're excited. Noon to three. So we'll have fun. We'll get you going. Thanks to Jake and Paul. And then we'll lead you into DVD this afternoon. So a lot of fun, man.
Yeah. No, I am excited about it. John McClain going to join us today at 2. His new weekly spot with us will be 2 o'clock on Mondays. So have some reaction when the NFL season starts. Looking forward to having John on. And on Tuesdays at 1, a old friend reuniting with us, Tim Hasselbeck, former NFL quarterback and the head coach at Innsworth.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So we got Timmy, but DVD moving to afternoons. I'll have Trevor Maddich, and so you'll hear a lot of the same guests. So
yeah, that's great.
It'll be good.
Man.
It'll be good.
Oh, Tim Hasselbeck. Yeah, that's we started with him back in 2011 on this station, and then he's still here, which tells you something, man. We're still here. I guess that's what it tells
you. We are. 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can always call or text, weigh in on anything that we are talking about. And guess what? It is game week. The Tennessee Titans play a game this week, a preseason game.
It's crazy because now a lot of eyeballs, because what are they going to do with Cam Ward? And I'm sure they'll be asked, Callahan will be asked about Cam Ward on Wednesday and Thursday, how much he's going to play. I want to see a whole half from this guy. I don't want to see one series or two series. I want to see a whole half. Get him out there he might get injured. He might get injured stepping on the bus. Doesn't matter. I want to see how much this guy can play on Saturday versus, was it Friday? Friday or Saturday?
I am not prepared to answer your questions with that today. I knew you were going to ask me that, and I was trying to look it up, and I should know that. But
what's so confusing? I think
it's going to be Saturday night.
Saturday night. Okay, there we go.
At Tampa.
Hey, I want to see him play a half. I got to see him play half of football.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to see that, but I would agree with you. That's what I would like to see, but I don't think that's what is going to happen. What's interesting to me is apparently yesterday, they did practice yesterday. Sunday morning, Brian Callahan had a, non-FCC compliant tirade at the offense. And I don't have any problem with a head coach.
Not at all.
Getting in the grill of his team if they're not performing. Because quite frankly, everything I've really seen to this point, the offense hadn't looked that good. And the quarterback has looked very much like a rookie. You know, you're in a position where you pretty much have to start him. I mean, we all kind of thought that was going to be the case, but he's the first overall pick. Will Levis is out for the season. Not that it was ever a competition. I keep saying that. But Brandon Allen is your backup. And Cam Ward hadn't looked that good. That's practice.
So play him. Play him Saturday.
Sure, I agree. But what are your thoughts on the fact that Brian Callahan has gotten to this point where he's just flown off the handle, rightfully so, and basically gave it to his team yesterday?
I think it's fine. I got no problem with that. I think we need to see more of that. If it's genuine, if it's not this built up, someone said, the whole thing, him getting upset was fake and all that. If it's genuine that you're upset, like when Will Levis threw the interception last year, or what he did in Chicago when Callahan was so upset, that's fine. I told you this. If the coach is not climbing your tail in practice, then there's something wrong, especially during camp. I had so many coaches say, look, if I stop talking to you during camp, then you need to start worrying. So this is great for the Titans. Look, that's not a good football team. We know this. And is Callahan a lame duck kind of guy? I kind of think he is. So go out, coach your tail off and see what you can do. But I just think you got to throw everything in the kitchen sink. Go at it, have fun, put Cam out there and play. And if you got to yell and scream, get your team going, I'm fine with that.
I'm going to say that because you have – I mean, you let's just call it what it is. I don't think you've been that impressed with Brian Callahan since the beginning.
Correct.
Like, you just – he lost you last year when he didn't throw Jeffrey Simmons out of practice.
I wasn't sold when he got hired anyway because he's never done anything as
right.
far as
you
calling
call plays.
plays, all
that stuff. So you sit here and call this a lame duck. You're not the only one. A lot of people are calling this a lame duck season. My thing is – that and I don't know if you're not actively rooting for that, but like anyone that is actively rooting or thinks that, well, you know, whatever, he's not going to be here next year. Do you guys see how bad of a trend that is? You just spent the number one overall pick on a quarterback that you want to develop. Look at Marcus Mariota. Ken Wisenhunt was supposed to be this quarterback guru, turned out to be an a-hole. Was the worst coach in franchise history. He gets fired halfway through the first year, or second year, I'm sorry. First year of Marcus Mariota. Mularkey comes in, salvages something. Luckily, there was some familiarity there. But, I mean, don't you think that kind of set Mariota back a little bit?
No. Did you go and see how Ken Wisenhunt ran
practice? I understand. I understand that. No. But I just worry about – now, look, again – if they and I've done a bunch of different shows in different cities and doing previews, and they all ask the same question about Callahan. And I'm like, if the quarterback develops, he will still be here. Regardless, now if they go 0-16, then maybe not, or 0-17. But if they win 5 or 6 games and the quarterback is showing signs of development, he will be back. That is
God, I
can't thought
out here the day people content with winning 5 games.
I'm not content with it. I'm just telling you how this is going to go. That's building. That's building towards where you want to go.
Maybe next year we'll win 6, and then now we'll get 7, and then, hey, look, man.
You don't turn things around. I mean,
why
some
not?
Do.
Why not? If it's not working, it's not working. But that's a whole hypothetical of, like, is it going to happen? Is it going to turn out right? I don't know. But if you're not playing these preseason games and getting better and showing what you could do and making those mistakes and going forward from that, then why play preseason games? I don't understand it. Joint practices are great.
Yeah.
But you're not leading the team out of the tunnel. You're not coming off the side after a punt. You're not going to the sideline after you've gone 3 and out. Those are things that you need to do and need to work on. There's other stuff like, well, sit. Well, two words I hate more than anything else, mental reps.
Oh, I know.
I hate the words mental reps because it means I can mental rep all day long how I can lead the Titans down the field and score. I can do that too. But can I physically get out there and do it?
My mental reps are my business. Right. I don't want to.
Can I get
out
there and do that? I can't do that. So I don't know why we try to reinvent the wheel every training camp. There's a bad football team. They're going to get better. They're 0-0 right now like every other team in the league. Who says he can't go to Denver and beat them? We don't know that. For them to say all this.
I will say that. Right now, dude, this team is not good.
You've seen them going against each other on a 7-on-7
Okay, that's
drill.
The only thing that I can see. Now let's watch joint practices this week in Tampa. Let's watch the preseason game if they play anybody.
Yeah.
And then we can reevaluate.
Right now,
everything that I have been able to see, the same things that you've been able to see, tell me this team is not a good football team.
It's not.
And we knew that going in.
So I know that. But September 7th at 3 o'clock our time, 2 o'clock in Denver, Mountain Time, we'll start seeing how this team can go. So they practice and learn. They go 3-0 in the preseason, great. They go 0-3, great. It doesn't matter as long as they get better. And so – we'll see. That's the whole point about this. It's a lot of fun to talk about that, but he's got to play as much as he can. Throw everything at him. Let him play as much as he can.
And I agree with you on that. But there is something that is out there. Jeremy Fowler was watching the Titans, was here this weekend. There's something out there that kind of made me go, And we will discuss that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, we are now live 12 to 3, Monday through Friday here on 102.5 The Game. We're excited about our new lineup. DVD will be coming up next at 3 o'clock. But we're here for the same sports talk fun that you have expected from us and have gotten the last 2 years from 9 to 11. Dr. Crane is along for the ride. Whether he wants to be or not, we basically told him he had to. And he cried a little bit, but no, I think he was excited. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Seems like the first team offense has not really scored a lot of touchdowns in the red zone so far in camp in those periods. Is that an area of concern?
Concern, no. We've been in the high red zone a bunch. Haven't worked down to the low. We got more red zone work today, so actual focused red zone work where we're starting down inside the 12. But, yeah, I would like to see more movement in the red zone in the periods that we've had. But we got a lot of work to do in the red zone in general. That's probably one of the harder areas. A lot of our early focus has been on third downs, which has been great. And now we'll shift into the red zone today and get some more work. But, yeah, we got work to do there for sure.
That was Brian Callahan before practice yesterday. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Our new time slot, noon to 3. Couple of things there. I don't like that he talks before practice.
Bingo.
I don't really understand that. And I don't know if they've given – maybe Paul knows. I don't know if they've given an explanation of why they do that. I don't like it. I wish that they didn't do that. Because, like, you're going to talk about what you're going to do. I would have wanted to hear from him after practice yesterday, like, hey, why were you giving it to the team?
Yeah,
you
know, right.
And he's still got that raw emotion and stuff. So I don't really understand that. And then what he was talking about of, well, we haven't really been in the low red zone. You don't think that's kind of a problem, Brian? I know it's practice, but, like, yeah, that's kind of an issue.
We try to reinvent the training camp wheel every year. It goes through this.
Yeah.
And we see some great – I mean, there were some people that have come through training camp like, oh, this guy is going to be on the team. He's cut the first day they have cuts. I mean, so they know their starters, they know the guy's going to get in there, and that's something else with the Callahan. Not talking the next day is just kind of like, oh, we're going to forget what happened on Tuesday. We're going to worry about Wednesday. It's just – I don't know. It's an odd setup, and I'm not sure what it goes like around the league like that. But, I mean, that's what he does. He's going to get asked the questions anyway that still go on. So I don't know if he's trying to avoid certain questions or talking about that. Maybe he hasn't had a chance, you know, to seek. If Callahan spoke after practice and said, what about the defense? He doesn't see the defense. He doesn't see him. He's an offensive coach. He's not over there. That's like another problem with that. So I think it's why, like, all right, he's got a chance to see everything and talk to his coaches.
You wouldn't have a problem with that if he was Sean McVay. If he was a good if the team was good and he's running the offense, you and everybody else wouldn't have a problem with any of that if they were good. But they're not, and so it's natural.
Why
to have
wouldn't
a problem
ask
with that.
Sean McVay about, hey, how's the you're running a 3-4, how's the 2-deep on the 3-4 looking? He wouldn't know after practice.
But he should know.
He should.
He's the head coach. As an offensive coordinator, you need to know what a defense is doing.
Yeah. So I think maybe he defaults to Denard Wilson, lets him talk that way. I don't know. I think it's overwhelming to be a head coach still calling plays and game planning.
Yeah.
What did Clark Lee tell us at SEC Media Days about being a defensive coordinator? There's a lot of things I had to get off my plate.
And that's why Jerry Kill was here and kind of could help him with some of the head coaching stuff on the offense.
Exactly right. You just kind of delegate a little bit. Now Clark is back to being a head coach, and I've got a defensive coordinator there to run things, and it's easier. I don't mind you kind of dipping in, see what's going on here and there, but I just think it's overwhelming. We go back again. Remember the guy that Vrabel said coached the Bears game, preseason game 2 years ago? He's a DC now, Vrabel in New England.
Yep.
And he said, you know, how was he? He's like, man, it was tough. I didn't know where the red flag was. I had a challenge flag out. So being a head coach is difficult. It's not easy. Then you put calling plays on top of that. Some people are built for it, some aren't. Right now, the return back from Brian Callahan, he's not.
So I was looking through, Jeremy Fowler was at Titans training camp, and he kind of wrote a piece about it. And a couple of bullet points about what he saw. And there was one that caught my attention. It said, quote, while the Titans have been pleased with Brandon Allen's presence as the primary backup quarterback, they will monitor free agency or potential trades for veterans over the next month. Allen looked capable of handling QB2 duties from what I saw. he has been productive in camp. So you may read that and think, okay, maybe they're not sold on him being the backup. Or should we read between the lines and think maybe they need to go get an insurance policy? If Cam's not ready, which right now he's not ready.
He's nowhere near ready.
Like, is it detrimental to him to throw him out there?
Gosh, that's a great question.
And I look, there's not a lot of good available. Unless, I mean, I'd have to go look at rosters to see if there's a backup. Like, if Gardner Minshew became available, then okay.
Yeah.
Like, I would take him for two games as the starter to give Cam a little more time than, you know, than Brandon Allen. But,
well, I'm sure it's a scenario they've put in the back of their mind. Like, all right, what happens if he's not ready? I just – look, if you go out and get a new quarterback – You got to learn the playbook, right? So time's a ticket. You're bringing a guy in the week before the Broncos game, that ain't working. So right. I think they're standing pat, but what they got, I think they like Brandon Allen. Don't use the term. I hate the term. He's a game manager. I got hiccups like John Robinson does. Right now, excuse me. I think game manager is such an awful thing to use, but I think they think Cam will be there. I think they'll be there ready to go. He's got another 4 weeks, three preseason games. There's a lot out there. And just go make plays, man, on the Denver with your legs. Go make plays. That's a terrible game plan, but I want to see him in Denver.
That's such a political. Just go make plays. Just looking for them to go make plays, man. Just use your legs. You've broken my heart for so long. Just go out there and make plays.
But will you be deflated if he's not starting in Denver? I will. Hell, I'm not even a Titans fan.
No, actually,
I want him to do well.
My honest answer to that question is no. I wouldn't be because – I'm like, if he's not ready, don't throw him out there. How many times have coaches and teams and, you know, or owners or whatever ruined a quarterback because, well, we took him first overall, so we got to throw him out there, and he's not ready? Like, and I'm not saying that this is true for him. I'm just saying, like, in today's time where there's social media and there's, you know, everybody has a show or everybody has a podcast talking about you, and don't give me this BS of, oh, I don't listen to the noise.
Peter Skoronski said that.
Bull, you do listen to the noise. Like, everybody hears the noise because you know why? You may not see it, but mama or brother or daddy or somebody is going to see it and tell you about it, and then that's going to get in your head. That's what happens to Jeffrey Simmons.
Right.
I think people tell him about this stuff.
Well, let me tell you this.
And it's just like, don't. If he's not ready and you have another option, it's okay.
Everybody wants to know what's being said about him. Everybody
of course.
Does. So when they tell me,
I've heard enough of that.
When a guy tells Mike Skoronski, no offense, I don't pay attention. Yeah, you do. You watch TV. You see what's going on. We all do. So to say you don't is you're lying to us. You're lying to yourself. You want to know what's being said about you. Simmons saying, I don't pay attention. Well, why did you react the way you did last year? Because you saw what was being said and you didn't like it, which is fine. I mean, you got a problem. That's fine. That's up to you. We can't control life. But we can't control how we react to things. So that's fine. Yep. I got no problem with that. But at the same time, you're telling us that, I don't pay attention to anything. Yeah, you're lying. But with Cam Ward, I bet that guy just swallows up information, man. Just takes what's good, what's this, what's that,
yeah,
and likes it. I got a problem with that.
And he's a smart guy. I can tell. Like, he puts the work in. I think he's going to be very, very good. But, again, and I know you don't want to hear this and nobody else wants to hear this. It's not about – this team's not going to win the Super Bowl this year. They're not. They're not good enough. You asked the question. That's fine.
Damn right I did.
But my thing is, in order to ever get back to that point, this quarterback has to work. And if you look at it and go, and everybody sits in a room and just says, the kid's not ready, and you figure out, you find somebody that can start the first couple games and you do that, then do it. Ooh. They're not going to, but – I'm just saying.
That's a rough thing, man. Let's just hope he's good to go and shows we can do against Tampa, Atlanta, and the Vikings. But Tampa's got a great defense. They've only got one day of joint practices with them, so we'll see what happens.
Gunner on our text line says, my only thing is, if he doesn't start, what does that do for the psyche of Cam Ward? Does that run down his confidence and make him feel like you don't believe in him? That's a fair point. But what does it do for the psyche of Cam Ward if you do start him and he throws three picks in his debut because he's just simply not ready? You're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. I mean, you really are.
I think he'll be ready to go. I'm not worried about it. I think he'll be ready to go. And going out and grabbing another quarterback is not the answer because you got to learn the playbook and there's nobody really that good out there. So you got what you got and go forward with this. Hell, anything can happen, man. We know this. And we always say, you know, they start the season 0-0 together, but the fact that the Titans go out there, got the game at Denver, who knows what could – I mean, think about if they win that game. My goodness, man. That ruins Denver's season and sets the Titans on this great path. So we'll see. The best part is we get to see what happens.
By the way, Matthew in Nashville on the text line said, preach, Chase. So he agrees with me.
Oh,
so thank
it.
You. Thank you, Matthew.
Where are you preaching next time?
I don't know. We'll see.
Why don't you go down here to Jelly Roll's church? It's like a block away from
us. Oh, is that where he went? By the way, Jelly Roll did a fantastic job at SummerSlam this weekend. He wrestled a match. I just heard somebody yell. He wrestled a match Saturday night at SummerSlam and did a great job.
Did he take his shirt off?
He did not. They lost the match, but he did the moves, and like you could tell he'd been training. Like he looked good.
Was he with
Randy Orton?
Randy Orton.
And then they fought Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre, Nashville zone.
And he got beat.
And they got beat. But but it's okay.
Okay.
It was good. Here's what I love about you guys. Y'all know I like wrestling. Every time there's a big event, text will come in of like, hey, what'd you think? I thought two nights was too much, but it did give the matches more time. I thought John Cena wrestled the best match of in the last 10 years. Main event was really good. I thought overall it was good.
I didn't see much pub about it. Did I miss something?
There wasn't a ton of build. There just wasn't a ton of build, which was interesting.
Right, maybe push it back a week before the NFL kind of kicks in again. I don't know.
Nah, they needed to actually build to it. They just had so much other stuff going on that they didn't do it. 615-737-1025. What is our question of the day?
All right, our question of the day, we're in a new time slot. All right, we're now noon to 3. We're 9-11 forever, so we're like that brunch slot. So now we need to know, our great listeners out there, what is your favorite non-chain lunch spot? All right, now they could be based out of Middle Tennessee and have five different locations, that's fine, but a non-chain lunch spot, because this is all new for Dr. Crane, Chase, and myself. Noon to 3, we're curious where you're eating lunch, where you're listening to us. We want to know your favorite non-chain lunch spot. 615-737-1025. Let us know. We love hearing from you.
Amen to that. 615-737-1025. You can call or text. John McClain will join us at 2 o'clock. It's Chase and Big Joe. Our new time slot, 12 to 3. We'll get to your phones. Coming up next here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. On this Monday, our new time slot, 12 to 3. 615-737-1025. So we're talking, our question of the day is,
your favorite non-chain lunch spot anywhere in Middle Tennessee. We'd love to hear what it is, because this is new for us, noon to 3, man. We don't know where you're eating lunch, because we love to come and eat your food if that's possible.
Yes, we would. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Let's go to the phones, and Bob wants to weigh in on the preseason right now. Bob, what's up?
Hey, guys, y'all talking about how much you think Cam might play in the preseason?
Yep.
I got a feeling he may play a little bit more than what you're thinking. The reason I say that is because he changed the practice on Friday to a padded practice, and with his little vent yesterday, I don't think he's happy, so I think he wants to actually see him more than sit him.
I would hope so. Thanks for the call, Bob. Appreciate it. I would hope so. I mean, again, the only way you're going to – I say this all the time. The only way you're going to learn how to do something is by doing it.
Or making mistakes.
Right.
You know?
Right. But you know how you make mistakes? You actually – you're doing it. You're playing.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
So,
yeah.
Like, I don't want to live in this, well, what do you – he might get hurt.
Think about this. And it was one time talking about Joe DiMaggio. He failed like 68% of the time he went to the plate. Failed.
Yeah.
And so I know you look at baseball and football and basketball different, but – I mean, so you're going to fail. And then so what you do is you just get better and learn not to do it again. Oh, I learned there's a linebacker who's creeping up on the right side. Maybe I should audible to the left side because I made the mistake before of going to the right side and he was there. There's things you can figure out and go, and Cam will work his way into that. He's been a successful quarterback at every stop. So now he's got, just got to do it again.
615-737-1025. Now we get into our question of the day with Lunch Spots. Bo wants to weigh in.
Yes.
Bo, what's up?
Hey, guys. Fatouche Cafe off Charlotte Pike downtown. It's an exceptional Greek restaurant. And they were on Triple D. So you can go back and watch that episode.
Say it again. I'm sorry. What's it again?
Fatouche.
Fatouche. Okay. On Charlotte. Gotcha.
Cool. Thanks for the insight.
You had me at Triple D.
Sorry. A lot of these coming in. Bruce wants to weigh in. Bruce, what's up?
Yeah. My favorite place is a Meat and Three, Bailey and Cato's Family Restaurant in Madison.
Bailey and Cato's. How long has that been around?
A long time. I've been in Nashville for about 12 years, and they were here long before I got here.
We love Meat and Threes. Bailey and Cato's. All right. Thank you, buddy.
All right.
Appreciate it.
I've never heard of that. I like that.
615-737-1025. You can text those in. 1483, best local lunch spot, Las Palmas Mexican Restaurant. The one on Charlotte is like my favorite.
It's pretty good.
Oh, so good.
It's really good.
Byron says Pancake Pantry has a good cheeseburger, and I wouldn't necessarily classify Bakersfield as a chain, even though it kind of is.
We celebrated at Pancake Pantry. I mean, you and Dr. Crane did last November down there. Yep. Oh, our buddy Pete Weber was with us.
Fletcher says Back Alley Barbecue in Dixon.
Ooh, that sounds mysterious and good. Back Alley Barbecue. Shout out to Dixon.
Fido in Hillsborough Village. Here's one. Josh and Donaldson, got to go with Cletus Hamburgers on Elm Hill Pike. Love y'all. Really like the show at noon. Thank you, Josh. I went to the Cletus in Bellevue yesterday for the first time with my mom. Fantastic.
Yeah, he's expanded, right? Yeah. That's the newest location.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome. Really cool. Like, kind of has an 80s, 90s vibe.
Nice. Please tell me you bought your sweet mom. You bought lunch.
That's a personal question, but no, I did, actually. It was for her birthday.
For her birthday.
Yeah. So, no, it was good. We had a good time.
I like that.
So that is certainly one to check out. So keep those coming, 615-737-1025. So going back to the Jeremy Fowler report that they might be looking around. And a texter also said, how big of a benefit is it for the Titans to have the number one waiver claim? I think that's huge because there are going to be good players that get cut simply because of a numbers game on other teams, and the Titans can then grab those if they want to. I can tell you this roster is going to look a lot different when they open the season than it does right now.
Yeah,
I think they're going to have a handful of guys that aren't on this team that are going to be playing for this team.
Well, I mean, they're always – I mean, even John Robinson told us, he's like, you're always looking. You're always trying to see who's out there, what's going, who gets cut, what's happening around the league, and you kind of figure things out. But I would say that as well. But I just don't – now, let me ask you, do you get one claim and it goes to the other 31 teams and back around again?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. Probably. I guess so.
I just don't get some one-year guy for a guy for a year who – who's been sitting out and who's, I mean, it's got to move your team forward. It's got to be something that can start immediately.
So let me ask you this. Would you sign, because another name that's kind of been out there is Preston Smith. Would you bring him in? Now, the last 2 years hadn't really been all that productive.
You start shaking your head before you answer the question.
He's had 6.5 sacks. Last year he had 4.5 sacks. That's what it was. He split between Green Bay and Pittsburgh and had 4.5 sacks. The year before he had 8. The year before that, 8.5. The year before that, 9. Then 4. So, I mean, it's been a while since he's been productive. Why, but you need help. You need help on with the pass rush.
Why can't these games you just try to – maybe one of these young guys can step up. I just – you got all these guys on your team. You brought them here for a reason. Let them go. Let them play in these preseason games and see what they got. See what you can do. That's all you can do now. That's all you can do now. Let these guys rush the passer and get out there and play. Maybe you'll find a diamond in the rough. Maybe that happens. These guys seem to know what they're doing. Borgonzi and Brinker and everybody else. I'd love it, man.
To this to this point, and it's very, very early in the tenure, I do feel like Borgonzi knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I think so.
I got to see how this draft class works out. I mean, obviously they haven't played a game yet since he's been here. I do like what I hear so far. Or see so far.
Okay, better, him. Better. Yeah. Because I like you. I don't like seeing you.
Yeah, well. Right. That's fine. But like going back to the question you asked, like, is this team that you put out there tomorrow good enough to win the Super Bowl? Chad laughed at you.
Yeah. And not with me, but
and Borgonzi kind of looked at you like, well, no bleep, Sherlock, it's not. Like, I mean, but he gave you the honest answer. That impressed me.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you know, he could have BS'd his way out of that question. But he didn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you took over a team that was the worst team in football. Good news is, the only way to go is up. And then so you brought a lot of guys in, and maybe you'll find a diamond in the rough. Real quick, speaking of diamonds in the rough, what's my favorite sports talk show?
Robbie and Rexrow.
Robbie and Rexrow. Love that show. Joe Rexrow the day said something that got me going in not a good way.
Okay.
He said that Micah Parsons is better than Javon Kearse. Joe Rexrow creating waves. He's been off the air for nearly 4 hours. Nobody's had the impact Javon Kearse had, and that's what I'm talking about. Nobody knew that was going to happen in 1999.
Why isn't this on our board? Like that.
I don't know.
I mean, we would have.
Nobody saw Kearse happening in 99. That's why I keep thinking maybe there's somebody on this Titans team. Not could do the same as Kearse, but could surprise us and get to the passer and make some sacks and create some havoc and chaos. That could happen. I was there in that trailer in Bellevue, and they drafted Javon Kearse. And we're all like, I don't know, man. I don't. Nobody had the impact that Kearse had that first year.
Parsons has had a pretty good impact with the Cowboys. It's a different era. All right, so Parsons has played 4 years. He's had 52.5 sacks.
Good Lord.
Through his first 4 years. Kearse, got to do quick math here. 21.5.
27. Take the 4 out. Drive the 2 over.
I see, now you've just screwed me. So now good. When I do math, everyone.
Just say it. We'll add together.
When I do math, everyone needs to shut up. Okay,
that's
how this works. Like
I went to FRA, man.
I went to FRA. He had 29
in 4 seasons. Was he hurt though? When Kearse hurt
in 2002, he only played 4 games.
Okay,
so I mean that's the thing to consider. Parsons last year played 13. So again, they both have battled injury in their fourth year.
Okay.
I'm going to have to agree with Joe. I think Parsons.
I'm going to stab you in the eyeball.
I think Parsons, well, joined the list.
But the point being, maybe one guy comes out of nowhere and you're like, yeah, we like this guy. An undrafted guy or sixth or seventh rounder. Just give him a chance to do it. And if not, then you move on. But give him the opportunity. Now, the player, you get the opportunity. Tom Brady talked about this. Are you ready when the opportunity comes? Was I ready when Drew Bledsoe got hurt? You damn right I was ready. I was ready to go. So are you ready to go when the opportunity happens? Maybe it goes. Not to the impact of a Javon Kearse, but at the same time, we'll see what happens. You got a couple of weeks to prove it and get it done against other team. Maybe somebody can emerge from that. Maybe somebody can.
615-737-1025. Let's get a couple of other lunch spots real quick. Jack wants to weigh in with his. Jack, what's up?
Congrats on your new time slot. I hope it's a big success for you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
My favorite place, it's a local chain actually out of Kentucky, Rafferty's.
Oh, Rafferty's is solid. They're in Hundred Oaks.
And make my absolute favorite bacon cheeseburger and fries cut from room temperature potatoes, not frozen. What a concept.
Hmm. That's they're Bowling Green based, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they hear something Bowling Green. Hey, Bowling Green.
And I, as far as the Titans, I'm like Joe. I'm quietly encouraged by Mr. Borgonzi's moves. He signed up solid veterans for short-term contracts, didn't bring in anybody that we got to wait for the stitches to come out or them to come off of come right out of the wheelchair to play six games in and then go right back out.
Right.
And I think the best thing that they can do is to please talk Miss Amy off the ledge and don't let her meddle, because as long as you keep putting your general managers and coaches in a blender year after year, you're going nowhere.
Love it.
That's a great call. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
I can't disagree with that. And I kind of wonder if Borgonzi was like, look, I will take this job, but I need reassurance, and looked at Brinker like, you're going to keep her out of the way. Keep the owner out of the way.
Well, I would think so. If you would, like, hey, let us do our job. You hired him. Let him do the job.
Right. Exactly.
Still don't know what Brinker does, but.
Laughs at you. Kenny the mailman. Hello, Kenny. Welcome to your first call from noon to three.
Absolutely. I have followed.
Oh, and we appreciate that.
Well, as I just got off the phone with my son, Jack. He works at Gabby's across from Fort Negley's. And both of y'all have the hookups.
Uh-oh.
And give him your name. It's a small place, but they decorate for the Titans, and it's pretty cool. They all take off one game a year and go to an away game as the Gabby's crew. So it's a neat place to work, and they put out a good product.
That was behind center field at Greer, right?
Yeah, and they really don't participate in the Hamburger of the Year contest, you know, each year from Nashville, and yet a lot of times they finish second or third, so. That's pretty good when you're not even in the contest and you're in the top three.
So if we go over there and say, hey, Kenny the mailman said we can have a couple of burgers, they're not going to put like this hood over our face and shove us in the back of a car and we end up somewhere outside of some city in Kentucky, right? We're good?
Joe Dubin, if Kenny the mailman says it, so.
Yes!
It's so.
Yes.
Just like Shives Jewelry. That goes way back. Now, I'm going to give y'all a softball. Y'all have moved to 12-3, and you've got a
– What's that?
I said y'all have moved
I think
to
we
12
lo-
to
Did
3.
Did we lose Kenny?
No, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, you broke up for a second.
I'm just saying, you're on one-third more in a different time. Give us some reasons to listen to y'all, and y'all have a great day.
Awesome. See you later. Thank you, Kenny. See you, appreciate Kenny. It. Our favorite, Kenny the
Hook
mailman.
Up at Gabby's.
How about that? 615-737-1025. You can continue to answer our question of the day. It's on X. It's also on our text line, or you can call in your best local non-chain lunch spots, because now we're in the lunch hour. We need some good spots. So you can let us know, and also continuing on the Titans as well. 615-737-1025. We'll have more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe. 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Now noon to 3. 3 hours of us. Did you hear that groan?
Yeah, it's like, what? I didn't sign up for this.
There was an event this weekend that I was really looking forward to. In fact, I almost went to it, but just had a lot going on, and so I couldn't get up there. And so Saturday night, I made the decision – wasn't going to go out. I was going to stay home. I cooked dinner. I had SummerSlam on. I had the three TVs going. I was watching some of the Xfinity race. There were other things. UFC had a fight night. And I was going to sit back, eat my steak, and also watch the Speedway Classic at the Bristol Motor Speedway between my Atlanta Braves and the Cincinnati Reds. And Mother Nature just had other plans. And it just – I felt bad for them because I know a lot of the people at Bristol.
Right.
They have put a ton of time and energy into this. The field looked awesome. Like, the whole setup was great. And kudos to Marcus Smith and his team for trying something. But my problem was you knew the weather wasn't going to cooperate. And I know baseball was like, well, these guys, you know, flew in for the game or bussed in for the game. There's no hotels. They're not going to stay here. We really need to get this in tonight. You knew you weren't going to. And when they started it, I mean, you know, Atlanta had to scratch Strider. You made both teams burn a pitcher for not even a full inning.
Right.
And, you know, people, supposedly concessions and stuff, I think, ran out of food. And, I mean, it just turned out to be a disaster. And, again, I mean, you gotta anticipate that it could happen.
Yeah.
But, like, it just – that cell just sat there.
Can we stop doing this? Can we stop putting games in places they don't belong? I know it's cute. I don't want to see that again. I don't think it worked. The Speedway Classic. I don't think it worked. I don't like.
It didn't work because of the weather. It would have worked if it had been clear. So. It would have worked.
I think it's not a good setup.
So, did you have a problem with the football game?
I thought it was kind of goofy. Yeah, I was not.
I mean, there were 100,000 people there.
150,000 people.
Right
there. Okay. I mean, Britney Spears sells 25 million records. Does that mean she's good? No. Right. So. Follow me on this.
Okay.
We have great baseball cathedrals. Great baseball cathedrals. Let's keep them there. We have great football stadiums. Let's keep them there. I'd rather see Tennessee play Virginia Tech at Neyland Stadium, not at Bristol Motor Speedway. I just like these stadiums are built, and they're nice, and they're great. Let's keep them there. I'm not a fan of putting these plays. I'm just not. I just wasn't appealing to me. It just the whole thing.
But that's fine. I mean, they were.
You're mad at me now.
I'm not mad at you. I just think you're wrong.
It's fine.
I disagree with you.
That's totally fine.
No, I think having the setup was fine. They were going to have the – it was the largest attended baseball game in history. I mean, I've learned that everyone is just – if they want to complain about something, they're going to complain
about
it.
I'm not complaining about it. I just wasn't a fan about it.
I mean, that's a complaint.
I didn't go. Was not going to go.
You're not going to make everybody happy. I thought it was a good idea. They don't have to do it again next year. They probably won't. But, like, okay, so baseball has – we will agree on this, I think. Baseball was the one sport that – was so full of themselves, thinking that they were still America's favorite pastime, that was so oblivious that the world had passed them by, that they were antiquated and the games were slow and they took too long. And as much as I love baseball, had lost the fan, had lost the average fan.
Uh-huh.
Right? Could we agree on
that?
I
agree.
All right. They finally got their head out of their you-know-what.
Language.
And I didn't say it.
I know.
And decided, okay, we need to speed up the game. Pitch clock, challenges,
yep.
Being able to use replay. There are different things that they added. And then they started doing fun events. Now, you know, going to the Field of Dreams or playing a game in Williamsport, I think they did one in Omaha too. But that
one
like
in Birmingham.
Birmingham, right. Like that, okay, those are baseball stadiums and baseball things. That's fine. But I have no problem with coming up with a new idea and seeing what happens. I learned long ago. I mean, I've always been the kind of like, you can try something, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But mm-hmm. I remember sitting down with Sean Henry one time and talking about like, hey, if you don't try new ideas, somebody else is going to. And they're going to pass you by. Some of our ideas crash and burn, i.e., the Pedal Tavern in the arena. That didn't go over too well.
God, the booze.
But you know what?
Great.
They tried something. And then, kudos to them that they made fun of themselves, that it was a bad idea.
Right.
And you move on. Maybe at the end of the day, this was a terrible idea to try a baseball game at a racetrack.
I'm just not a fan. That's fine. You want to go?
But for a league that couldn't get out of their own way for so long and just wanted to be so traditionalist and we're not going to ever change and evolve and not try new things, I was glad to see them try something different.
Good. You can go back next year if they do it again. We have great cathedrals to baseball. Play the baseball games there. Go to the games. And this is another hot take that you probably won't like, but I don't care.
By the way, we don't call those – we don't use that phrase.
Here's my opinion on something that you might not agree with. I think they are cute. They are fun. You go see them. But I think the Savannah Bananas have done something to Major League Baseball. It's okay to lose. It's okay to have fun and lose. And I get, let's not put.
They do lose, right?
Huh?
They do lose.
I don't know. I'm saying Major League Baseball teams. Okay. It's okay if you lose, but you're having fun.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't. Let's not put Savannah Bananas with Major League Baseball. It's not the same. It's not the same, right?
No, it's supposed to be fun. It's like the Globetrotters.
It's right. So the home run, the All-Star game tonight, how'd they settle it? Was the home run derby afterwards or something? It's stupid. This baseball is baseball.
Well, I think All-Star games are dumb anyway.
Stop using that. Don't put the runner on second. All these ideas.
I got a ghost runner in second.
Not a fan of that. Keep them separate. The whole thing is going on. I think the Savannah Bananas are great. It's fun. They're selling out all across the world. Fantastic. But at the same time, it's not baseball. Stop looking at it as if it's baseball.
Wes in Clarksville said baseball on Bristol was as bad as them deciding to put dirt on Bristol. Yeah. Matthew in Nashville, the Bristol game was a good idea. It's unfortunate that the weather was as bad as it was Saturday night. I think... All right, Benjamin says, so are the Winter Classics not to your liking, Joe, NHL?
No.
Because the NHL officials were at Bristol to check it out to potentially put a Winter Classic there.
No. From fans that go, you can't see anything. I just don't like it. I'd rather see them in Bridgestone Arena.
I can tell you this. If the NHL decided to put a Winter Classic at Bristol Motor Speedway and it was the Predators and
who?
Probably Carolina. I mean, that makes the most sense. You're getting – those are the closest markets.
They ain't getting 100,000 there.
I think they would because it's different. It's different. And honestly, I think the Winter Classic's kind of gotten boring because they're using the same teams over and over again.
And there's a reason they're using the same teams over and over again.
Well, because of the original
Do you think 100,000 people would go in January in Bristol to see that? Okay.
Yeah,
God bless you, man.
Wes wants to weigh in on our phone line on our question of the day and Brian Callahan. Hello, Wes.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing today?
Oh, we're fantastic.
I heard your question of the day talking about some non-chain lunch spots. Joe, do you have any idea where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I think so, but let me hear it.
So there is a place that's based out of Birmingham called Hero Donuts. And a lot of people hear that name, they think, oh, it's just a donut shop. But, man, it's so much more than that. And they've got, you know, anything from burgers to fried chicken sandwiches to donuts to, you know, healthy power plates and stuff like that, man. They've got like four or five places out here in Birmingham, but they just opened up a place in Nashville, kind of on the outskirts of downtown by 4th Avenue. But, man, if y'all have not heard of that place, been to that place, I would highly advise you putting it on your calendar. It's that freaking good, and their menu changes with the season.
Huh.
So, yeah, I mean, it's some of the best food that I've ever had. I think I've eaten there 3 times in the past 7 days, if that gives y'all any idea.
Heroes Donuts, got it.
Good to know.
And as far as Callahan goes, man, you know – I've said this a few times throughout the past couple of weeks, probably the last 6 or 8 weeks. I know he didn't have a great first season. There's not a whole lot of promise to look at him as far as a head coach coming out of his first year. But I think that as much as we're trying to build this team up, I think it's a huge setback if you let him go, regardless of really what happens at the end of this season. Unless he just does something stupid again, like let the fans call timeouts and call the plays and go for it on fourth down. But, you know, you gotta live and you gotta learn. I think that first year was a lot of learning, including learning that Will Levis was not the guy. But I think that he should get at minimum 2 or 3 years with Ward and just put some work in, man. Just see what he can do. He's got a track record of working with a lot of really big-name quarterbacks. And you've got somebody on your roster that could potentially be that. So I think you hurt the team more than help the team if you let him go after 2 or 3 years, especially
Preach, sir.
After 1 year.
Preach. I agree with you 100%. Thanks for the call, Wes. We'll get back to the phone, 615-737-1025. Also, Did you see over the weekend that apparently Vol social media decided to put a quarterback in witness protection?
Yeah, this is great.
I thought that was kind of interesting. We'll discuss that and much more in hour number two, our new time slot, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.